Good morning and welcome to St. Andrews and All Saints Online.
Thank you for joining us. I hope you're comfortable and do have a cup of tea with you. And if you are a visitor, a very warm welcome to you indeed. Why not go treat yourself to a biscuit?
Only one though, eh? Because that lockdown weight's not going to lose itself. Now, my name is Eddie and I'm the youth ministry leader here.
And my name is George and I'm a young person at St. Andrews.
And so for our regulars, this may look a little bit different to previous weeks, but this week I messaged Dave, our rector, who has been so faithfully leading these services with Peter. And I said, hey, why don't we let the young people have a go at sort of helping lead the service this week?
And for some reason he said, yeah, go for it.
He did. He said, you guys can have a go. But usually at this point in the service, we'd have some notices.
But we don't have many at the moment. And so we thought, why not copy what we do at our Sunday Life group with the young people? And that is, what's one good thing that's happened to you in this week or one God thing that's happened to you in this week? And so why not try this at home with us? So Eddie, what is one good thing or one God thing that's happened to you this week?
Yeah, great question, George. Well, for me and Hannah, certainly, we asked one of our friends if they wanted to attend our online Alpha course on a Thursday night. Now, Alpha is an introduction course to Christianity. And she said yes, but she was working, so she had to miss the first week. But then this week, she's gone along to it. And so we're just so thankful to God for that.
That sounds brilliant. And one good thing that's happened to me this week is my younger sister, Sophie, loves to bake. And she made some amazing millionaire shortbread. And they were very, very good. But you know what? Eating is fun, but it doesn't keep me entertained for long. So yeah, I've just been a bit bored.
Well, it's interesting you should say bored, George, because one thing we have got going on, an exciting project, is the Boredom Bag project, isn't it?
Oh, yes. I've heard about that. Do you think we can give it a go?
Yeah, well, I've got a bag here. Have you got a bag there, mate?
Yeah, I do actually.
Yeah.
Let's give it a go. Wow. This is
Go on.
Oh, yeah, this is this is boring, let's be honest.
I'm not really feeling any less bored, nah. George. I think we might be doing it wrong. Should we get Alice to explain what we're meant to do? Yeah, go on.
Let's
explain,
do it.
Alice.
No, that's definitely not how you do it, guys. But you may remember 2 weeks ago we launched our Boredom Bag project. And since then, we've got so much to celebrate. We've had fantastic response from you guys. Thank you so much for all your amazing contributions that you've given us in the last 2 weeks. We've had homemade fudge. We've had handcrafted solitaire sets. We've had fantastic handcrafted activities and paper crafts and card making and chocolates and magazines. And it's just been amazing. So thank you so much. Helen and I have spent the week, and Eleanor and Josh, packing up our bags. We've got 70 bags that we've made up this week, 10 for preschoolers, 20-ish for primary school age children, 10-ish for teenagers, and the rest for adults of varying ages and stages. And it's just been amazing. We've set off delivering them this week, and we know they're going to be a great blessing to everywhere they've gone. So thank you so, so much.
Alice, this is just so great and so exciting to see. But have you guys got all the bags that you need now?
Well, like we say, we've done over 70 bags. We've filled and we've delivered and handmade 70 bags. But we've actually had orders for 27 more, and there might be more to come, particularly for teenagers. We've been asked to make some bags for some teenagers. They're perhaps the trickiest to think of really good, meaningful activities for them to go in their bags. So if you'd like to make any more, that would be brilliant.
And Helen, what sort of stuff can we put in these bags if we're having a go? Are they hard to make?
Thanks, George. That's a really good question. But just before I answer it, I'd like to say a really big thank you to all the people who have made some absolutely fantastic craft kits for children and some amazingly beautiful bags that have been sewn. And for all the gifts and donations that we've had to go in the bags, they've been absolutely brilliant. There's loads of information on the website that you can look at for ideas of things to go in the bags. But what we're particularly looking for at the moment is stuff for teenagers. So we've had ideas, things like bean bags, gecko key rings, paracord bracelets apparently would be brilliant. So please do just have a think about what you could do this week to help us fill all these extra requests we've had for bags, like Alice mentioned. And just a really big thank you to everyone who's got involved. We really, really appreciate it. Thank you.
Brilliant way to serve the community. Even after that, though, I'm still a little bored.
Well, why don't we do something that should be fun for everyone, whether you're 5 years old or 105? We're just going to sing our first worship song together now, but Ruth is going to do some actions for us and some sign language that we can all join in with if we want.
Brilliant. Let's all stand together. And as we do this, let's have some fun. But also remember that no matter how big the situation is, like coronavirus, God is much bigger and much greater than it all.
Thanks and hi. So we're going to worship Jesus now using our bodies and dancing to build your kingdom here. If you don't know the actions, that's fine. Neither do we. I've just made them up. So are you ready? Well done, guys.
You're right, George. I do feel even better now. Although, does this mean that I've used up my one permitted exercise for the day?
No, don't worry, mate. You're indoors. And also, we're recording on a Wednesday, so it's fine.
That's true. I can still do my Sunday one if I want.
Exactly. Anyway, in a moment, the children are going to head off and do the activities, which are on the All Saints and St Andrew's website.
But before they go, let's have our Bible story, our Bible reading from Tim, with a special little twist from Matt and Peter.
Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Jesus forgives and heals a paralysed man. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Someone came and bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and lowering the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? What is easier to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and take your mat and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up and take your mat and go home." He got up and took his mat and walked out in a full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this."
Now, this story reminds me, George, that I was recently reading through an article which was talking about how many people have started tuning into church online.
Oh, yeah, I saw that too. And yes, Dad, I do read news articles. Surprising, I know. And it said that over a fifth of people that don't normally go to church have been going to online churches.
Yeah, exactly. And this story is all about how four friends brought their friend to Jesus. And that's my story too. I wouldn't be here if my friends hadn't invited me along to church. But at the moment, it's never been easier to invite your friends, has it? They can see what church is all about because they can watch it online. So do really think about sharing these services with others.
But on top of sharing the service, you could share with others the hope that Jesus Christ offers. Even though we might not be able to see our friends and family, we can pray that God opens opportunities and discussions to share the word and hope that Christ offers.
Yeah, yeah. And we've managed to interview somebody this week who's doing just that. So, Anna, you are, of course, mum to two, an adopted mum to two more. So there's six of you in the house at the moment. And, of course, you are one of our NHS frontline workers as a nurse. Do you want to just tell us a bit about how things are going and what it is that you do?
Yes, I'm Anna. I'm mum to Thomas, who's 15, Sam, who's 13, and recently in August last year, we fostered two little ones called Alfie, who's 10, and Skye, who's 6. I'm a wife to James, who's a teacher at Hanley. And so we've got a busy household, lots going on. And my other role is that I'm an oncology sister at Worcester Royal on the chemotherapy day unit. I've been there for about 14 years. And so we support probably 80 patients a day through the chemotherapy journey and the cancer journey, giving support and chemotherapy, radiotherapy, helping with pain relief and things like that. And you know, just, yeah, being there for them during that time. So, yeah, that's what
amazing. I was saying. Sounds very busy.
Yeah. It is. I am part-time at work, but I've been doing a bit extra because they've been short-staffed with staff being off with COVID or symptoms or isolating. So it's been busier this last few weeks than it normally is, really.
Yeah.
And how are the family dealing with lockdown? How's it going for school with them and everything else?
Yeah, good. Tom and Sam are pretty sorted. They're quite motivated with work and everything, and they're getting out for a run on the hills or on their bikes and stuff. They're quite and Zooming friends and having all the church stuff going on, which is brilliant support.
I'll send you money later on, Anna, thank you.
Alfie and Sky, I think it's tricky for them because they've kind of just got into a routine and a new family, going to a new school, made some new mates, and suddenly that's all gone. And I think it's just it's highlighted quite a lot how much they struggle because they've missed heaps of school. Because when they were with their mum, she really neglected them and they didn't go to school very much. So a lot of the stuff we're doing at home with them, they've gone right back to the basics of alphabet, calendar, months of the year, counting, and just basic stuff. So that's quite time consuming, but really rewarding as well because you can just see them both soaking it in, loving the attention, and the boys been fab with helping, and James amazing too with his teaching, so it's good. Time we have lots of family walks and we've got a lovely dog, so we're out on the commons and on the hills and stuff when we can.
That's lovely. And what, if any, opportunities has this really difficult situation given you with your work? Has there been any opportunities for you?
Yeah, I mean, I've been quite amazed really, because there's a couple of girls who I work with who are Christian, but a lot of them who never really talk about it, they know I'm a Christian. And I know, you know, when it first started a couple of months ago, we walked in and we were presented with all this PPE, masks and gowns and shields and everything. And we all put it on and we stood there in front of our list and we just felt this real vulnerableness. And my goodness, this is serious. And I think the first day, a couple of them were quite tearful. And we were looking at the list, working out what our workload was for the day. And I just felt God telling me, you just pray, just give it to me. And we did. We just stood there in front of that list. I said, do you mind if we say a prayer? And they were like, no, that's what we want. And then the next day, a couple of them asked for the same thing. So we just prayed to the list, basically, protect these patients, protect us as we work. And we have to keep changing our clothes going in and out of work, so I'm very much conscious doing my Bible study. I'm listening to lecture 365 on my way into work, and then about God's sort of protective cloak over us. And as I get changed into my uniform, I'm putting the cloak on as well. And when you talked a lot in your sermon a few months ago about the shield and the breastplate and all those things, it's just putting the armor of God on, and I've definitely felt that. But also I sit there for a while after a cannulated patient and I'm giving poison basically to them. Yeah. And I think I felt quite scared for them, and I know a lot of patients have felt very vulnerable and scared that they're having these drugs that are making their counts go lower, so they're very prone to getting infections before this ever happened, and even more so now. And so a couple of patients have been really quite teary and openly scared. And so I've just said, would you like me to pray with you? And I've felt much more courageous to do that in this time, and there's been so much more of a willingness for it, definitely.
There's something so, like, prayer's not offensive, is it? You know, there's something so, to offer to pray for people is so human, and it's there's no harm done, is there? If someone says, like, yes, it's not as if you're going to then start, like, hitting them or something, you know, you say, do you want me to pray for you? And people, I think, are really open to that.
Yeah, definitely. I haven't actually had anyone say no. Wow. I think I kind of gauge who's interested when I'm talking to them. But I think there's just a more openness. I think people are just more vulnerable and more like, where am I going? These are the last few days or months of my life. Mm. And I might not see my loved ones again, or I might not, you know, I can't go out and give someone a hug. And I think this is the closest they come to anyone in the outside world when they come into the hospital. So it's quite an important role, and I just pray for the Spirit to be with me so I can go out and do that, really. Yeah.
And Anna, you're amazing. You're an amazing person doing amazing stuff. And, you know, I think a reminder to us as a church that so many people are still out doing stuff and having to work. But Peter's sermon today is about, you know, the man who was paralysed on the stretcher. And I think a lot of us that are stuck at home, we feel a little bit paralysed, a little bit stuck. How can we be supporting you, particularly, I think, through prayer? You know, what can we be really praying for you guys for that still makes an effect, you know, for you in your life?
I think probably I was thinking about this before you were talking to me, but there's three P's really: protection.
Oh, very good.
Protection, peace and patience, really. I think protection definitely over my work, over my health, over my family's health, because you do feel like you're bringing, you don't know what you're bringing back to your own family as well. So protection, this cloak of Jesus just wrapped around me, and protection over my patients that I look after. Peace as well, because everybody's quite scared being in that environment where you're all dressed up and you know, have I scrubbed my hands well enough? And then just the patience with the family, really, because I come in and they're all, Mum, can you show me this? Can you help me with this? Can you, you know, I can do my time savers, look at my painting. It's just having that patience and peacefulness about me, really. So those three things, really: protection, peace, and lots of patience.
Well, thank you, Anna.
That was amazing. So inspirational for us all. And a great encouragement as well during this time.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing, supporting us as well. Brilliant.
We will continue to pray for you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So as we said there's so many of us that are stuck in lockdown at the moment. And perhaps like that man on the stretcher, we feel a little paralysed, like we're just not able to go and do those things that we usually would.
Perhaps you're in the vulnerable category and you're desperate to go out and help, but you just can't.
But as we've learnt there, one of the most important things that we can do is simply pray. And in particular, pray for those key workers and those people that are out on the front lines doing the important work.
So let's pray now. And we have Janet who's going to lead us in prayer.
The Lord invites us to bring our prayers and requests before him with thanksgiving. And at this time of celebration of victory in Europe in 1945, we do indeed thank God for bringing peace out of the horrors of war. We come humbly before him, thinking of the millions who lost their lives and families who had to rebuild their lives. This is a prayer for VE Day, taken from the Act of Commitment for Peace. So let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we pledge ourselves to serve you and all humankind in the cause of peace, for the relief of want and suffering, and for the praise of your name. Guide us by your Spirit. Give us wisdom. Give us courage. Give us hope, and keep us faithful now and always. Amen. And Lord, it feels very much as if our world is at war with the COVID-19 virus. So today we would bring our prayers to you for our current world situation. Since mid-April, the London Institute for Contemporary Christianity has produced a daily COVID-19 prayer journal, Presence, Pressure and Purpose. And these prayers are some of the highlighted areas. Our Father, we pray for those in healthcare, the frontliners caring for patients in hospitals, in care homes. Protect them from harm, we pray, and provide everything they need, especially the continuing supply of PPE. Give wisdom to those seeking a vaccine. Lord, we would name before you those frontliners who we know and ask you to keep them safe. Our Father, In our time of worship this morning, we've been thinking of Jesus the healer. And right now, we ask that you would heal those who are sick or who are carrying the virus without knowing it. Heal, we pray, and protect those around them. We ourselves may know of family or friends who have this disease. In a moment of quiet, bring their names to God. And we pray for those whose lives have been devastated by a loved one dying of this virus or other causes at this time. As we name these dear ones, we ask that you will bring them your comfort, strength, and peace. Our Father, we pray for those with anxieties, those who are anxious about their jobs and security for the future, as so many industries are affected by this virus. We pray for those who are able to work from home, and we bring before you those who are fearful there won't be a job for them to return to. We also pray for the emotional and mental welfare of individuals at this time. Those who are struggling, and those, whatever their age, who are victims of abuse. Our Father, we pray for those involved in educating our young people, for teachers who are now involved in online teaching. For some, this will come fairly easily, and others will be finding it an ordeal. We pray for parents who have suddenly become teachers and are now homeschooling. We ask that they will receive all the help and guidance they need. And for the children and young people whose worlds have been turned upside down, enable them to still keep learning, albeit in a very different environment. Give them motivational and learning skills. Our Father, we bring before you our government as they share proposed initiatives to begin to bring us out of lockdown. May all those who have responsibility for the welfare of the UK be guided and strengthened by you. Give to them your wisdom as to what is the best way forward. And as we close our prayers, we would pray Margaret's three P's for ourselves, our families, for our friends, for our communities and town, for our country, for our world. Lord, may your protection be upon us. May your peace be within us. May your provision for our needs, whatever they may be met at this time. And we would bring all our prayers together with a resounding Amen. So be it.
Cast my mind to God. where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet. My Saviour hung on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed by heavy stone, Messiah still and Lord God. Oh, praise the name of the Lord God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise, oh Lord. Oh Lord our God. Then on the third, at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. Oh trampled death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King. The name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise, oh Lord our God. He shall return in robes of white. The blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise, O Lord our God. O Lord our God.
Yes, Lord, we do praise you. God, we do praise your name. We thank you for who you are, and we thank you for hearing our prayers this morning.
And Lord, we pray now as Peter comes to speak from the Bible, I pray that you would speak clearly through him. And Lord, I pray that this talk would now challenge us, but also encourage us, Lord. I pray this in your name. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. It's good to be with you. Now, I'm going to put a couple of pictures up on the screen, and I want you just to shout out what you see. So here's the first one coming up. Can you see it? So tell me, do you see a rabbit or do you see a duck? I wonder which one you saw. Okay, here's another one coming up. And I hope you can see that on the screen. So what do you see? Do you see a young woman or do you see an old hag? I wonder which you see. Perhaps you saw both. Anyway, I hope now you can see me. My point there is that we can often not see what's directly in front of us or what other people see, and we see things differently. And so my question for us this morning is, what glorious things of God might be staring us in the face, but which we haven't noticed? What are we missing in this time that because we're not looking? I believe this morning's reading contains two things. I think, well, many things, but two things that I want to raise. One is a warning about having a closed mind and not seeing what is directly in front of us. And also an encouragement to trust God that he knows what prayers we need answered. What are our deepest needs. So let's look at this story. Last week, we heard about Jesus alone in the desert. He was in the wilderness, stripped of everything, and his friends. And we were invited to consider how that might compare with us at this time in lockdown, stripped of things around us in so many ways. Well, this story is very different, isn't it? Jesus is in the thick of ministry. He's healing the sick and he's preaching the good news. And in the reading, we are crammed into someone's house, where, as scripture says, so many gathered, there was no room left, not even outside the door. Gosh, so different from our present situation. Imagine the noise and the chatter and the gossip. Imagine the pushing and the shuffling, all these people trying to squeeze in. I bet some of us are yearning for a bit of hustle and bustle right now. Well, along comes four friends carrying their paralytic friend. Why are they doing that? Because they've heard that Jesus heals the sick and they want to see their friend healed. And what faith they display. They're not put off by the crowd, but instead they climb up onto the roof and break open the roof in order to lower their friend down to the feet of Jesus. They break in to see Jesus. Let's just remember that for later, that they break in. The paralytic couldn't have got to Jesus on his own. He needed his friends. Don't we need each other too? Aren't there times when we ourselves can't get to Jesus because of a crowd? It may be the crowd of fear. It might be the crowd of anxiety. It might be crowds of unbelief or the crowds of lies that we believe about ourselves or the crowd of just overwhelming circumstances that paralyze us and make it difficult for us to go to Jesus. For me, it's not uncommon if I get hit by dark moments or discouraging thoughts that I turn away from Jesus rather than turn towards. It doesn't make sense, but that's my reality. And it's at times like that that I need and we need friends to be able to bring us to Jesus in prayer, bring us to Jesus by encouragement, bring us to Jesus through their love for us. And so we need each other. Moses needed Aaron. This man, this paralytic in this story, needed his four friends. Who is your lockdown Aaron? And who are you being a lockdown Aaron to? I know through life groups, the buddy system and friendships and all sorts of other connections, we are wonderfully supporting each other. And well done, and thank you so much for that. But if you are listening and you are alone or you're struggling or you feel isolated, please reach out. Call someone and ask for help. This is not a weakness, but it is a strength in humility to be able to ask for help. So this man is lowered before Jesus. And what is Jesus' response to these men? Well, he first says, "Your sins are forgiven." And then later he says, "Get up, pick up your mat and go home," and heals him physically. Mark records this story because he wants to make clear that Jesus is interested in both our spiritual healing and also our physical healing. Our God heals. It is his very nature to heal. And here we come to the first of three critical points that I think the Lord wants to highlight for us this morning. And this first critical point is that God knows what we really need, even if it's not actually what we are praying for or think we need. Think about the paralytic man and his friends. What did they want? They all wanted the man to walk again. They came to Jesus for him to be healed so he could walk. That was their motivation to persist and have that faith, to lower him before Jesus and break open the roof. But Jesus understood the man's deeper needs, not to be able to walk, but to be right with God. Jesus was first concerned with his spiritual brokenness before his physical brokenness. He was concerned with issues of the soul and the heart, and so Jesus first declares, "Your sins are forgiven." This response of Jesus so often reminds me of Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, when he addresses the issues of everyday worries and anxieties. And in the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 6, Jesus teaches the crowds to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be given to you as well. Jesus says, first seek God, first get your relationship with God right, and then all your daily practical and physical needs will be given to you as well. But seek God first. Is it not true that we more often than not are crying out to God in our prayers to meet our physical needs, our earthly desires and our hopes, and pay less attention to our spiritual needs? Those issues of eternity, issues of our deep heart and yearning, issues of our attitudes and our character. Prayers and hopes for our physical needs are not wrong. They're good and it's important. But Jesus calls us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Righteousness being right with God, having the right relationship with God. God will then meet our physical and earthly things, our needs. And so we see this playing out in this story. Jesus forgives the paralytic's sins first, and then later heals his physical. So what does that mean for us practically? I think it is a call for us to invite God into our deepest needs at this time. Those of our first prayers each day are to ask God to come into our deepest needs. The need for us to know that we are loved, that we are forgiven, to bring to him our confession where we need forgiveness, to save us and be healed from wounds that we're carrying, where we're carrying offence or self-hatred or anger or unbelief or fear. Allowing those being the core of our prayers first, and then going into places to meet our practical daily needs. What an opportunity this is at this time, when many of us have a slower day, perhaps slower time or more space, to be able to go and say, Lord, what are my deeper needs? For myself, particularly at this moment, I'm seeking God on a particular area of life at the moment. And Emma and I are doing the marriage course at the moment. We're investing into our marriage, knowing that there are areas in our marriage that aren't flourishing to the fullness that they could be. And we're investing into that. Where do you need to see God work in you? So that's my first point. God knows what we really need, which is not always what we want. The second point is, are we missing what is staring us in the face? Like today, in every age, Apostle Mark records the consternation and the rebuke of the teachers of the law, the people, the establishment. They resist rejoicing in the fact that a cripple can now walk, and instead rebuke Jesus and calling him a blasphemer, a blasphemer. And the blasphemer is a crime punishable by death. In contrast, the people are recorded as being amazed and praise God. But the religious leaders accuse Jesus of blasphemy. Why do they do that? Why do they do that? The reason is that only God can forgive sins. Only God can forgive sins. The point is that the religious leaders miss what is staring them in the face. Is it possible that Jesus is God? They can't see it. They can't even conceive of the possibility. And why? Well, there'll be many, many reasons. But it will include the fact that they're the limitations of their institutional thinking, their cultural expectations and interpretations of the scriptures and teachings, the social norms that they are, and a myriad of other constraints which stop them believing of the possibility that perhaps Jesus has been sent by God or is God. The possibility that a wandering carpenter from Nazareth could be God is beyond their dreams. They can't see what's right in front of them. What is staring us in the face that we are missing? If we're listening for the first time, perhaps what's staring you in the face is that Jesus really is God, Lord and Saviour, and he wants to come to know you. But for all of us, what is God saying and doing in this lockdown? What is he saying to you that you're finding hard to hear or actually don't want to hear? There was a lady interviewed on the news, I think last week, and she was saying to the reporter, she is desperate to get back to work. She's stuck at home. She's juggling work. She's at home trying to homeschool her 6-year-old child. It's awful and she can't wait to get back to work. I find that absolutely tragic. I don't know her full story. I don't want to judge her. But I was tragic that there was someone at home desperate to get back to work. And yet there was, intentionally or unintentionally, a dismissiveness and an opportunity at this moment to be at home with family and investing into her children. Now, her circumstances, I just raised that possibility. Where for us are we missing the opportunity? People are constantly talking about getting back to normal. What is normal? And what does it mean to go back? Or actually, do we mean we want to go forward? What are the difficult questions being raised about how you do life and how I do life that perhaps we don't want to ask at this time, but God is stirring because of the circumstances? What difficult questions are there about how we, about consumerism, about how we treat the environment, about the balance between work and our family life, between our priorities in our finances, in our giving, in our relationships, in our faith? What priority do we set aside for prayer, reading the scriptures? Where are our priorities? Where are we being stretched? But this is an opportunity to say, do you know what? There is a different way of doing it. Seriously, what does it mean? What is staring us in the face that either we don't want to see or we are reluctant to? For me, this is a time raising all sorts of questions, particularly in my new, relatively new calling as a priest. Theology of the Eucharist and of priesthood and of the church ministry, mission and ministry, about the pace of life. issues of environment and climate and how I treat them. All sorts of questions are coming up in my own life. Where do we need to open the aperture of our thinking, like those teachers who couldn't conceive of the possibility that Jesus could be God, and therefore he could say, your sins are forgiven. The second point, where are we missing what is staring us in the face? And thirdly, difficulties bring us closer to God. Difficulties bring us closer to God. Finally, I'm struck by the thought that if that man in our story this morning was not a paralytic, it is very likely that he would not have had that encounter with Jesus. He encountered Jesus because he was crippled. He encountered Jesus because he wanted to be healed. So he encountered Jesus through his suffering. He wasn't just one of the crowd. What does it mean to be able to allow this lockdown and this coronavirus? And if we've experienced tragedy or difficulty because of work or finances or restrictions or other things that are happening in our life, where do we allow these difficult things to press and enable us to encounter God in a richer and deeper way, just as that crippled man did? Where do we encounter him in our prayers and in our scriptures, in our daily spiritual rhythms? Where might we encounter him more deeply in our loneliness, in our anxieties, in our fears, in our joys and in our hopes and in our crying and in our laughing? Wherever we are, God is with us. And whether we are coping well or whether we're coping badly or not well, this is a precious opportunity to come to the feet of Jesus, just like the man in our story was. And if you are paralyzed emotionally, spiritually, physically, who are the friends that are going to carry you in prayer and words of encouragement to the feet of Jesus? So let me draw to a close, and let me just remind you of those three points that I think God wants us to hear this morning. Firstly, God knows your deepest needs. And what an opportunity to come to him in this time and ask him to expose those areas in our heart that we need his healing and his peace. The second thing, what are we not seeing that is staring us in the face? What are the hard questions about what life might look like going forwards, not backwards? And thirdly, suffering brings us closer to God. And therefore, where are the opportunities in these challenges, times to come closer to God? So those three points that I think God wants us to hear this morning. So let me finish in prayer. In a moment of quiet, let's be still. My prayer for us is that we would let God break in. Remember those friends? They ripped open the ceiling to lower the paralytic down into the room. I pray that we will allow God and his goodness, his hope, his light and life to break in to our hearts, to open the ceilings of our hearts and to allow the light to break in to new places of our heart and our thinking. Lord, break the limitations of our expectations, the limitations of our own faith, and smash open the apertures of our thinking. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that we will be able to receive the deep healing that you have for us. I pray that you will help us to see the things that we're not seeing at this moment. And I pray that you will help us to embrace this time to encounter you more deeply and more richly. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you.
And so Peter spoke there about how sometimes we just don't recognise the bigger thing that God is doing.
So often we can follow our own paths and thoughts and fail to recognise where God is actually taking us to.
So we just want to stop for a moment now and respond to this. And the worship band are going to lead us in musical worship.
And as we sing this, let our prayer be that God, the waymaker, the miracle worker, bigger than we can imagine, can continue to lead us through this time.
Even Let's join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
So thank you so much for joining us today. We hope that this has been an encouragement to you and that you've known God's presence with you. And we pray for each of you as you go into this week, that you know God's protection, God's peace, and God's strength alongside you wherever you find yourselves. And so a final blessing. May the peace of the Lord Christ go with us wherever we may be. May he guide us through the wilderness. May he protect us through the storm. May he bring us home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown us. May he bring us home rejoicing once again into our doors. Amen. God bless and take care.